Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. It's a pretty big claim, isn't it? Do a bit of maths. 1,000 days is 2 years and 9 months. That's enough to complete an undergraduate degree if you're not doing a science subject. How easy do you find it to believe that one day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere? Maybe it depends on how your life is going at the moment. If your life's going really badly, really, really badly, and you've had a really bad few years, maybe you can believe it. But probably for most of us, we'd reckon that over 1,000 days, we'd probably have more good in that time than in one day elsewhere. Which courts are we talking about? Where are these courts? Is it heaven? Well, that would make sense of the big claim. And I can kind of see if it's heaven, then yeah, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering. So yeah, I can kind of see that one day in heaven could be better than 1,000 here on earth. Perhaps this is a deeper meaning than the psalmist intended. Was he talking about the temple in Jerusalem? Well, that's probably more likely. If we look at verse 3, there's reference to sparrows finding a home and swallows finding a nest, which suggests a physical building. And in verses 5 and 6, there's people on pilgrimage. They're passing through the Valley of Baca on their way to the temple, which again suggests, I won't say the here and now, but the there and then. But the Psalms are not to be taken literally. If we look at verse 2, my heart and flesh cry out. That's not literal. This is musical poetry. It's addressing the mind through the heart. It's using emotive language. It's appealing to the feelings. And we do this today as well. That was the best day ever. I'd rather die than do that. You're the most beautiful woman or man in the world. Psalm 84 was written by the sons of Korah, one of 11 psalms that's been ascribed to them. And they were part of a Levitical choir. They were made up of descendants of Korah, appointed by David to serve in the temple liturgy. And the Korahites represented the Levitical family of Kohath, son of Levi. So these were people who worked in the temple. That was their job. Chris, you know that first YouTube clip that we had? A little bit of competition halfway through the sermon. First person to know what this song is. I'm looking for the name. Bonus point if you can tell me who the artist is. I might need to verify it with Chris. This is probably where I find that the name is on the YouTube clip. Okay, well, don't look. Go, Chris. Thanks, Chris. So the key message of that song, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And I think there's a sense in which that's happening here. So we've got a Levite who normally worked in the temple, and there's a suggestion that perhaps he's barred from access to God's house. Maybe he's remembering happier times. And if we look at the first four verses, his soul is yearning, even fainting, for the courts of the Lord. That's really strong emotive language. In verses 5 to 8, he's recalling blessings in walking with God. Verse 9 is looking at how politics affects peace and stability. It's a prayer for the king. If things go well with the king, if there's peace for the king, things will go well with Israel. Perhaps a reminder to pray for our leaders. And then in verses 10 to 12... he's seeing God as the source of light, protection, and good times. What does this psalm have to say to us? We live in a very different context. Jesus has been. We live after the incarnation. The temple was destroyed. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ collectively. We have personal Bibles. We don't have to go to the temple to hear the scriptures read. We can read it in our own homes. We can read it on the bus on our smartphone. We can worship anywhere because Christian music is readily available online. And it's interesting to hear that Jeff referred to the woman at the well. Because if you look up John chapter 4, verses 19 to 24, we see that we can worship anywhere. Just flicking it to the right page. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." We don't need to go to the temple to worship God. But I do look at the language in this psalm. "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Do we long for God in that way? Do we have that same feeling of wanting to be close to God? Do we have that desire for him which is stronger than our desire for other things? Where are we investing our time, our thoughts, our hopes, dreams, emotions, money, material possessions? Is it in seeking after God, or is it in other things? And this psalm made me think about whether we count our blessings. We have relative religious freedom still in this country. There are challenges to religious freedom, but we still have relative religious freedom. We have our own Bibles. We have so many Christian books available and lots of churches to choose from. In some places, even the pastors don't have many books to work from. We've heard this evening about places where there may be one believer in a town, where there may not be much support from others. There are places where you can be imprisoned for owning a Bible, or for teaching your own children about Christianity. Challenging thoughts. The second half of Psalm 84, verse 10, says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." So is it saying that we should all be working for the church? That we should quit our secular jobs to work for the church or maybe a Christian charity? Is it saying that that's better? Better to be something in God's house than anything else, anywhere else? I don't think so. This obviously was this man's job, to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. But it is better to do a humble job for God than to share the life of those who do not honour God. How do we avoid dwelling in the tents of the wicked? It may mean not going for a promotion so that we can spend time with God or family or church family. It may mean being ridiculed or demoted or fired for standing up for what is right. It may mean doing a very high-powered, prestigious job, but making sure that the glory goes to God. It may mean turning down something that you really want to do so that you can honour existing commitments. Or leaving a job because you don't feel you can honour God there. It may mean challenging unethical practices. We are to be in the world, but not of it. Before I looked at this psalm, whenever I've sung it, I've always thought of the references to God's dwelling place and to his courts as being heaven. And I think there is a sense in which that's true in this psalm. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, Paul says, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." He's talking about earthly things there, but in that passage, he goes on to talk about would he rather be with Jesus. We are awaiting the New Jerusalem. I find Revelation chapter 21, the early parts of that chapter, very comforting. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." There is a place where it is literally true that better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. It's a place where the streets shine. If I could have the second video, Chris. We're going to sing, "There's a Place Where the Streets Shine." And then we're going to sing, "Better is one day in your house." And I believe we've got "The Lord is My Shepherd." Super. Please stand.